The Psalms are sometimes written out of a specific situation and life event for the author, but they are also written to be sung and prayed by the people of God in every time and age and situation. For example, most of us have not experienced a time when our child formed a rebellion against us to overthrow the kingdom. That was David's story. And yet we can all certainly think of times in which we felt betrayed, slandered, or attacked on all sides. So the Psalms speak to every experience of the human heart. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes! Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. Psalm 3 is a psalm that David wrote when his son Absalom formed a conspiracy and took the throne of Israel away from his father. David was forced to flee from his own son. You can read the story in 2 Samuel 15. And given this context, it makes sense that the psalm is about the protection of God in the midst of many, many enemies. David felt betrayed, surrounded. It's how the prayer begins, with a repetition of that word, many. How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. The camera is panning all around David, and all he sees are foes. Psalm 3 is often identified as a psalm of individual lament, a personal cry for help in a crisis. There's a lot more we could say about this idea of lament, but suffice it to say now that David is crying out to God because of persecution, accusations, enemies that are relentless and merciless. But despite these multiplying hordes of opposition, David had one ally, and that makes all the difference. He prays in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Those images are so powerful. The shield is not in front of David, but about or around him, like a Spartan shield wall or a suit of armor or a modern tank. David calls God his glory and the lifter of his head, images of elevation and being lifted out of despair and lament into community, recognition, strength. Later, he portrays himself as falling asleep right in the middle of thousands of surrounding, swarming armies. The noose is tightening, the trap is set, there's no escape. Except for one crucial detail: God protects his people. One commentator puts it this way: ultimately, the situation is not what it appears to be. He who is regarded as abandoned by God is actually the one who has God at his side. This is the first psalm attributed to David, and there are at least 73 that are attributed to him or reference him in some way. It is also the first of 13 psalms with an opening title that describes a historical situation. And by the way, we should take those titles as part of the original text of the Hebrew Bible, especially because both Jesus and the apostles took them to be authentic. But even though David is writing about himself and his son, we should not read the psalm like an autobiography. We don't need to read everything through the limited lens of the specific historical event. The Psalms are the hymn book of God's people, and so they are written for us to use in all the various situations in our lives. A biblical scholar named Tremper Longman wrote, "Although the Psalms' content and attitude are perfectly appropriate for the time, at least according to the portrait of David in the historical books, the purpose of the psalm is not to memorialize the event, but to provide a model for those who find themselves in similar, though not necessarily identical, situations." The point is that Psalm 3 was written when David was fleeing from his son, but David wrote it with the intention that it would become part of our prayer book. Even though this is a very personal psalm about David's own life, the last verse of the psalm makes the turn from an individual lament toward experiences of the corporate people of God. David writes, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." This psalm is a reminder that those who follow God are not isolated individuals suffering alone in a cruel world, but that we are part of a family that bears one another's burdens. We own each other's troubles as ours. We join with one another in bringing these troubles before the Lord. And then we all rejoice with one another when God answers our prayers. Psalm 3 moves through David's internal experience of betrayal stanza by stanza, and it can be illuminating for us to think about that progression. So verses 1 and 2 are the cry for help. "God, I'm surrounded by people who dismiss your salvation, who say that you can't rescue me." It's a plea in the midst of dismay. Then verses 3 to 6 are the statement of confidence in the Lord's protection. "Yes, many are against me, and that fills me with distress. But I come back to the ultimate reality. God is my shield, my sustainer." It's like David is reassuring himself about who God really is, not what people say about him. And then finally, verses 7 through 8 are an actual prayer for God to move and work. He says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, defeat my enemies, and bring blessing to your people." So the progression is crisis, confidence, and calling on God. That structure could be a framework for our own prayers. We begin with the crisis, where we are at, the feelings and the situations that overwhelm us. We cry out for help. Then we remind ourselves of truth, of the character of God, of his power, his goodness, his kindness. We trust those realities above our emotions or senses. And finally, from that place of confidence, we shape our request to God, not ignoring the fact that circumstances are still bad, but asking God to intervene. It's living in the tension of sin and redemption. The world is broken, but God is remaking the world little by little. Notice how David does not move quickly through this progression. Scattered throughout the psalm is the ever-mysterious word Selah. Scholars have debated endlessly about its meaning, but one common view is that it functions as a pause, an interlude, a liturgical sign to reflect and breathe. It's like the musical breaks in this podcast. Selah provides space for our soul to carry heavy things and lift them up to the Lord in reverent prayer. Psalm 3 points ahead to the one who was abandoned not only by his friends, but also by God. Jesus Christ was not a son who rose up in rebellion against his father. He only did his father's will, and it led him into the crowd of mockers that rose up against him, saying, "Crucify him." He was struck on the cheek, whipped, and beaten. And yet he did not call on God to strike back at his abusers, but instead he prayed, "Father, forgive them." On the cross, Jesus heard his foes shake their head and say, "There is no salvation for him in God." And he himself cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God did not protect Jesus from death. He was not a shield around his own son. Jesus' head hung low, his glory stripped away. Surrounded by enemies, Jesus closed his eyes and did not open them again. And yet, this was how God brought salvation and blessing to his people. Because 3 days later, God shouted, "Arise, O Lord!" And Jesus rose from the dead so that everyone who believes in him would be protected from the enemies of sin, the devil, and death. Salvation belongs to the Lord. His blessing is on his people through the life, death, and resurrection of the King. How can we pray Psalm 3? Here are some situations in which you might turn to the psalm to guide your prayers. When you are betrayed by someone close to you and your world spins out of control like you might never trust again. When, either implicitly or explicitly, someone denies the power of God to save you and you wonder, what if they're right? When you walk into a place that feels dangerous, like you might be physically assaulted or harmed. When you've been physically assaulted or harmed, and you're seeking refuge not only for your body, but for your soul to recover and heal. When you feel as though all your allies have abandoned you, leaving you defenseless and vulnerable. When your head hangs low in grief, and you don't know if you can still stand up straight. When you are defining your identity by what others say about you, and you want to recenter your sense of self on God, who is your glory. When you have a child who turns against you, whether it's because of your own errors or theirs or a combination of both. When you can't sleep because your mind is racing, the adrenaline is pumping, you can't slow your heart rate down. When you wake in the morning, and you want to praise God for sustaining you through the night. When you are learning to rest in the safety and security of one who promises to protect you. When you want God to move, you want him to move now, and you need words to express the urgency of your prayers. When you feel confident in the protection of God, the one who blesses his people. Psalm 3, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes! Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, "There is no salvation for him in God." Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. Thank you for listening to The Woven Psalms. This podcast is a ministry of Rock Hill Community Church in Duluth, Minnesota. I'm Mike Solis. I'm a pastor at Rock Hill and the writer of this podcast. Ethan Gibbs is our producer, editor, and composer of the theme music. Our logo was designed by Bo Walsh. This podcast uses the English Standard Version published by Crossway. We want to give a special thanks to poor Bishop Hooper for allowing us to use the music from their Every Psalm project. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please share it with others. You can learn more about our work at wovenpsalms.com.